and kind of explain what the Marin Interfaith Council has been doing to address this issue and kind of address some of the most common questions that I've received while doing these presentations. I won't have the time to take any questions during the service in respect of time, but I will be available after service to take any questions that you might have. So you might be asking, well, what is Sanctuary today? There's a wonderful organization in the East Bay called the Interfaith Movement for Human Integrity. You might have heard of them. And they provide a very beautiful statement regarding what Sanctuary is today. And so that's what I'm going to read for you. Sanctuary today is a public commitment to walking beside immigrants, mixed status families, refugees, and other targeted communities to uphold the dignity, due process, full acceptance, and participation of all people in our society through protection, support, and advocacy. So we have tended to break down Sanctuary into four major areas. I won't spend a lot of time on every single one of them for the respect of time, but I'll briefly just explain what they are. So the first one is advocacy. Most of us are familiar with this. This can look like letters for support for immigrants that are detained and having court hearings, having check-ins. This can also include letters to our representatives. This also includes support in the form of vigils, rallies, marches, and things of that nature. The next one is accompaniment. This is the area that I'm going to focus most of my effort on today because this is what we've been requesting from the congregations that are interested, is to help provide accompaniment. And I'll explain a little later in more depth what exactly accompaniment looks like. The next one is networks of protection and rapid response. Marin County is very lucky because we have the Canal Welcome Center, which you might be familiar with, and they currently manage the Marin Rapid Response Network, which essentially works to track and keep up with all ICE activity in the county, and they also work with families that have been impacted by ICE arrests and detention to provide them with support. And so that's where we'll come in because we'll be working with the Canal Welcome Center to provide support for some of these families. And then the last one is what most people think of when you hear sanctuary, housing hospitality. Through some of my visits, I've come to learn that this is what most people essentially go to first when they hear sanctuary, because that's what the previous sanctuary movement focused its efforts on. And while housing hospitality is still one of the options that you can do, it's one of the harder ones. And so we don't put any stress on congregations to try and put their energy in providing housing because it's a financial requirement to be able to hold the space for a family. And then it's also legal requirements that come with providing physical housing for families. So no stress or worries on providing housing hospitality. So exactly who is the immigrant community in Marin? They're our neighbors. They're the families that have been working in our communities, their children going to school with our children, worshiping with us, and supporting the livelihood of our communities. They are the Hugo Mejias who have done tremendous community work, and had his community not stood in support and fought for his release, he would have been deported, stripped away from his family, and stripped away from our community. They are just like the many people that have come here historically for a better opportunity or fleeing horrific violence. Just like most of our families ended up here, they're no different than us. So now these are the questions that I really tend to get when I do these presentations. Well, how do we know what families might need and what we can do to assist? The great thing about this network of congregations that Marin Interfaith has been convening on this issue is that we have a congregational survey, which we've worked with the Canal Welcome Center to create, that will help congregations and communities assess what skills and resources that they have in their congregations. Essentially, this survey asks about your ability to provide help with things like transportation, food, financial help for rent, bills, and other things, logistics. So if you are a great organized person, here's a role for you. Advocacy and education, spiritual and emotional support, language skills, and any other skills that might be beneficial also. It's very important to know that the survey that we've been giving out cannot cover or know of every need that might come through for a family. What we're trying to do with this survey is essentially build the foundation so that communities can be as prepared as possible to provide assistance for some of the needs that will come through. And it's also a great way to help you assess what your capacity as a community might be. So how will we be notified of these families that need assistance? Well, again, this is where we will work with the Canal Welcome Center, who will notify us of any families that come through the hotline. The good thing is that most of the families that have already come through the hotline, they're immediately referred to Canal Alliance so they can get the legal help. But now we're going to help with the accompaniment needs, which are some of the things that I just listed. We have about 10 to 12 congregations right now that are in the process of seeing what they might be able to provide assistance with. And we have two network leaders who will be the main contact persons for all of the congregations. And so essentially, when a need comes through from the Canal Welcome Center, they will notify our network leads, who will then contact the main leads for each community, and then say, we have this need in this place at this time. Do you think there's any volunteers in your congregation that might be able to assist? And then that's when your lead will contact you and say, hey, can you do this? So there's no fear of your information being put out to numerous people. The only person that will see your contact information is the lead and the representative from your congregation. So we do highly value confidentiality. Also, we additionally just recently were in contact with St. Raphael's congregation in San Rafael also. They have a huge immigrant membership there, and we were notified that they actually have been overwhelmed in trying to provide assistance to some of their own families that are dealing with things in this process. And so we're currently also working with them to create a system where we can also provide help to their families in addition to any needs that might come from the Canal Welcome Center. How long are we expected to provide accompaniment? Again, this will honestly depend on the amount of volunteers that you have in your community and also the resources in your community. One of the major steps that we encourage after taking the survey is then having the conversation around capacity. It's hard to try and give a definite answer because, again, we haven't been contacted yet for anything, and so it's hard to kind of anticipate what we might expect. The good thing, though, is that you can still figure out how much resources do we have and how long do we think we might be able to do this. Your congregation might say, we want to just be a short-term release resource, excuse me. And so if a family comes through and they just need something immediately, we can provide that emergency assistance. Maybe you'll want to just take one family on and walk with that family throughout their journey and provide assistance to them. You might combine efforts with another congregation in the network. And so two congregations take on a family. It just depends on what happens and what the needs are. The one thing I can reassure you is that you will never be given a task to do that will overwhelm you or that you won't be able to do. That's not how we function, and that's the beauty of a network. It's not just one person. We're a team. It's 10 to 12 congregations, and so where one can't, another can, and we can combine efforts. Sorry, just want to make sure I got it. Yep. Okay, so now we're coming to the end of this presentation. I hope I didn't bore you too much. if you're interested in being a volunteer, this is important. So if you're interested in being a volunteer for your congregation, please see Ann or Linda of the Social Justice Committee after service so that they can provide you with the survey to fill out. And they'll also have a sheet with additional information about what sanctuary looks like today and where you can find more information if you just would like to do a little bit more research before committing to this. Again, after service, I will briefly hang out on the patio and take any other questions that you might have. And then also on one of the tables right when you exit out of here, there are posters that you'll see, very colorful posters with a heart that says all are welcome here. Those are posters that the Marin Interfaith Council have just invested in for our Love Lives in Marin initiative. And so we're encouraging people that feel led to take the posters, hang them up in your home, in your office, wherever you feel led to show that we believe in inclusion in this county. Thank you so much again for allowing me to come and be with you this morning. It was truly a pleasure.